Tonight we're celebrating the descent of one particular avatar, of course, because it's Christmas and it's the birth of Jesus. In our Festival of Light, I was starting to say this morning at the Sunday service and I never really finished the thought. In our Festival of Light, what we celebrate is the fact that God continuously and often sends these great avatars in response to the longing of the human heart. And that simple fact is such an extraordinary cause for rejoicing that it's really hard to imagine why we ever allow ourselves at any time to feel discouraged or depressed. In our festival, we speak, and we'll say it also tonight a little bit later, a prayer of the sun and moon and all the stars, drifting seas, high mountains, desert solitudes, vast plains, from the hearts of mankind and creatures everywhere. So we're talking about all of creation, and then conscious beings, ourselves, all the animals, all the sentient creatures there are in the world, goes up in wordless yearning, it says, a prayer for redemption. Now my particular destiny in life is that I have a job in which I get to stand a little closer to the pictures of the masters. That's my vocational description. And also as a consequence of that, being part of Ananda, I read those words. I mean, how many hundreds of times have I read them? I don't know now. Almost every week for 30 years, something like that. And every time I come to that, goes up in wordless yearning a prayer for redemption. I mean, every part of those words strikes me. First, the part wordless. Because, of course, Swami's describing creation itself. Mountains, desert solitudes, plains, all of these created realities, they don't have speech. So there's no possibility of the mountain speaking in words as we do. But sentient creatures and human beings, of course, we take what we think and what we feel inside and we symbolically communicate it. I mean, the words that I'm speaking are just a symbol that everyone receives in the way that we can receive it for what it means. But there's a level of reality which is so much deeper and more real and more lasting and more unified than the symbols we put on top of it. The symbols can just hint. You know, I'm speaking English. Most of you speak English. Some of it, you not its first language. Others of you could speak in Spanish or German or Swedish or French. But what you would be expressing with whatever the sounds that you make would be the same human experience that we're all having. And what God is responding to, what this higher conscious reality is responding to, is something that all of creation, and especially when we have evolved to the human level, where we are able to intuitively know that there is a perfection of our longing that is ours by right. And this is what drives us to create beauty, to learn music, to fall in love, to bring children into this world, to nurture them, to help them to grow up, to go off and study medicine or to become a great philosopher. We have this sense within ourselves of some greatness that's possible. And we try in all these different ways, but it's not the things in themselves that are really attracting us. What's moving us is from the inside, this wordless yearning, this prayer, even if we don't know that God is there, but this understanding intuitively that something more is possible. And we won't be at peace until we have it. We were made for thee alone, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. And then over many incarnations, many more lifetimes than we like to contemplate, we just keep trying. I mean, those of us who are a little older can look back at the cycle of this life and see that I tried this and I tried that, and it gave me these experiences, and from those experiences, I learned. And the operative word gradually becomes, I learned. And what it is that we're always trying to learn is how to get closer to that perfect experience that we intuitively know is there, and that we are not at peace until we have experienced it. And the mirror shedding of this body at the end of this incarnation, it does nothing to satisfy that longing. It just gives us a moment where we can pause and we can erase much of what is holding us back and come forward new without consciously remembering all the disappointments, all the heartaches, all the hopes, but still that longing is moving us. And then in our festival, as we talk about every week, a prayer of love went up from earth and you responded. That wordless longing of all of creation, not even knowing what we're praying for, but a prayer of love went up from earth and you responded. You see, this is the whole question. Is there a greater power that is listening and responding? It's not something we can be argued into believing or argued out of believing. It's something that we know, or we long to know, or we hope is true, or we absolutely know is true, that we are not moving alone in this world, but there is a force. Whether it's light or Om, angelic beings, incarnated masters, ascended masters, there's all these different ways. We gave a wedding once and we prayed to every master that ever was there, several rivers and a few mountains, you know. It was this long litany that I had to read off to just match everything that this couple wanted to invoke. And I mean, I was all for it. Why not? You know? However we see it, however we sense it, the fundamental reality is to know that we are not walking alone. Literally, we are not walking alone. And more than that, that presence is actively engaged, guiding us, helping us, moving obstacles away or putting obstacles in our path, depending on which way is forward for us. A prayer of love went up from earth and you responded. And then we come to Christmas and to the descent of every master who ever graced this planet with his holy presence. Prayer of love went up from earth and you responded. A ray of your light flashed out from the heart of infinity, burst through night skies of consciousness. Just think about all that image. It's just so beautiful. The prayer goes up. Up meaning expanded in consciousness. It doesn't really go up into outer space. It goes up the spine through the spiritual eye. And then the power of God descends in human form for the redemption of mankind. These are not legends. These are the truest truths there ever are. In the early years when I lived at Ananda Village and we lived so isolated from the world, I went out once on a lecture tour, and must have been the early 80s or the late 70s, and I had a slideshow of all this idyllic country life and the little children with the baby goats. You know, it just couldn't have been more beautiful. The organic lettuce and the cheerful devotees harvesting the lettuce, you know. And I showed that thing up and down the West Coast. It seems to me like the trip went on for 2 years, but I think it was just a few weeks. And everybody would say, "No, that works well for you guys, but what about life in the real world?" They would say. And then I would seriously gather up my most rational self and I would try to explain how it was universal principles and all of this. And even I wasn't convinced. Because it was an idyllic life. It was heaven on earth. And then somehow I got a little tired and a little crabby, sort of toward the end. But in my crabbiness and my unwillingness to try to go there one more time, I just came up with the most obvious answer. What is so real about life without God? What is so real about this absurd dedication to material world being the entire goal of life? Where is service? Where is love? Where is selflessness? Where is nobility? Where is refinement? Where is even art or beauty? What is so real about everything that pulls our consciousness down? Fortunately, the lasting reality is the power and presence of God within. We know that, you see. That's why we're so restless. That's why we're always pushing for something, because there is this wordless yearning. And when that prayer gets clear enough, this ray of light flashes out from the heart of infinity and born on earth for the redemption of mankind in human form. And then they walk among us. And they are never forgotten. Master said, Yogananda said, that wherever a great master lived, wherever he stood, wherever he walked, wherever he was on the planet, that blessing remains there forever. Isn't that a startling thought? Because these masters move in eternity, and every action they make, it's not like the thoughts that we think that come and go, and we want this today and want that tomorrow and repudiate this today and repudiate that tomorrow. Theirs is this perfection. And it's our perfection. You know, Jesus lived this marvelously dramatic life, and Christmas is just the beautiful beginning. We kind of know what happens later, but we just stay here with this. Because what that gives to us, this beautiful baby, and these, you know, the angelic beings that surround it, and all of the glorious truth, the real world that is symbolically presented in all this way, is that perfect love is our birthright. That perfect joy is our destiny. And even though, lo, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is really what all of life is about, because it's all just a beginning that ends, as long as we're living in this material world, that which is eternal is beyond it. And so Jesus goes through pretty much the worst that anybody can go through here, but with a spirit triumphant. Because he is us. He is our destiny. He is the fulfilled longing. And that's why he incarnates. He incarnates as a messenger to say, that which I do, ye shall do in greater things. Be ye therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And he brings with him the power for it to be so in our own lives. To all those who received him. And that's not a qualified statement. To all those who received him. So there's only one part of that that's our part. Our part is to receive him. To all those who received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And the sons of God means to realize that wordless yearning, to be redeemed, as we say it, redeemed from our own ignorance. Redeemed from our own willingness to settle for less than we know is really our divine right. So Jesus is born in the little manger and we celebrate his coming because it is the promise. You know, it is time to rejoice anew, for the divine light has descended again into the world. And we have this wonderful line in the festival. Again, these are things I see so many times. Abundant now is our hope. Isn't that wonderful? You know, into our keys have been delivered the sacred keys of awakening. Into our hands have been delivered the sacred keys of awakening. Abundant now is our hope. You see, this is what Christmas is. Prayer of love went up from earth and you responded. And you are here. And you will be here for eternity. And our part is so small, all we have to do is receive him.